It's the Nature of Idaho. I'm Dr. Leif Tapanoa from the Idaho Museum of Natural History, and I'm here with Peter Pruitt from Zoo Idaho. And this is the Nature of Idaho, coming from the 1B, Bannock County, that is. We're talking all about Idaho, its wild places and wild faces, the natural setting that makes Idaho an incredible place to live and be proud of. Peter, our guest today is Jeff Roper. Yay!
Yeah, not bad for a 100th episode, right? Sound effect.
Yep.
We are so moving up in life.
Well,
man.
he's
special effects, baby.
He's the king of all media. You can see him on TV, given the first alert forecast on KIFI Local News 8, or if you flip the channel on the radio right now, hear him on Country 99 KPI-FM doing the morning show. But don't do that.
Don't leave.
Don't do leave. No.
Don't leave.
He's right here right now.
You're on the big 91.
Hey,
KISU.
FM.
FM stereos.
We're celebrating our 100th episode of The Nature of Idaho today.
Yes.
100 episodes.
100. And we're recording live at Jim Dandy's Brewing here in Pocatello.
We got to do nature news.
Nature news. Give it to me.
And you know, it's our 100th episode, so what do we have to talk about?
Slime mold.
Always.
Yes. A while back, we had astronomers use slime mold as a way to map dark matter in the universe.
That they do.
We've got to, for this nature news, we've got to go back to 2010 first.
Whoa.
We've got some researchers in Japan who fed slime mold nutrients arranged to imitate population nodes in Tokyo. And so as they watched these slime molds grow, guess what?
What?
They mimicked the Tokyo subway system.
Get out.
Yeah.
What way does it mimic the Tokyo subway system?
It looked like the Tokyo subway system.
It goes
system.
That direction.
All the little connections
tendrils,
and all that?
All the little connections and all that looked like the subway system. Yeah. And so we're going to fast forward to nowadays.
All right.
And what they call this technique is biologically inspired adaptive network design. And so we've got a couple of researchers up at the University of Toronto. They actually developed a computer model that will simulate slime mold construction. And they designed it so it could help specifically for architects and construction companies to help them design projects before they actually do it. And they wanted to test this out, and so they loaded up a bunch of information on Canada's Wonderland.
Oh, I know Canada's Wonderland.
Wonderland. Right. So what they did is they put the locations of roller coasters and food stations.
All right.
And they let this computer model go, and it grew like a slime mold. And what they found out was that with the slime mold construction, the design in Canada's Wonderland was 10% faster when you had to go from a roller coaster to a food venue, and it was 80% more resilient if there was a breakdown in that network. So if a pathway was blocked in one of them, it was 80% more resilient, so people could still move around in a relatively fast time.
Jeff, did you follow all that?
I'm still concerned about slime molds
these, and an amusement park.
Oh, these slime molds are wonderful. But you know what? They had to test it one more time.
Okay.
Okay, where did they do that?
So they took 17 key subway stations in Toronto, and they let the computer grow slime mold tendrils to these 17 key subway stations. And what they found is it wasn't necessarily faster, but the subway station off of the slime mold paths was 40% more resilient to disruption. So if you had a breakdown in one of the subway stations, it could still handle it better than our civil engineers.
So slime molds come up with these networks that are really efficient and can deal with problems that come up.
Yep.
Right? That's the big idea.
That's the big idea. And you don't need to get an expensive degree.
There are engineers now that are just shaking in their boots.
Yes, they should be.
Our trivia question that I'm going to ask you at the end of our interview. Yeah,
okay.
I'm going to ask you.
All right.
What was the topic of our first show in episode one?
Oh boy.
We're going to throw to a break. Well, when we come back from the break, we're going to reintroduce Jeff.
We'll be back from the break after the break.
Investing in your community is important. Your donation to this station keeps people informed so that they can, in turn, make good decisions. One way to make a long-term, meaningful impact is with an automatic monthly donation. Support your community by supporting this station. visit KISU.org and click donate. Thanks.
Hey, welcome back from the break. Well, Jeff is here with us today at Jim Dandy's Brewing here in Pocatello, and we're celebrating our 100th episode of Nature of Idaho.
This
so thanks
so
for being here.
Great. No, thank you for inviting me, and this is such a cool environment. Jim Dandy's Brewing, there's a little food truck in the back here, and you've got quite the quaint little village of fans. And you have prizes, too.
Right? Prizes.
Totally. We're going to do some trivia questions at the end.
I did bring you a gift, though. You are celebrating today.
Totally. And, you know, we have to thank Haley and Davis for opening up Jim Dandy's.
It's a great place.
Fantastic. So
really good.
Wonderful venue.
Jeff, you're a weatherman.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Well, it's truly one of the most fun jobs that you can have. And I look at it like this. You can help people every day. So I just try to make it easy to understand. I grew up in a household with a broadcast father. My dad's a meteorologist. I studied climatology at the University of South Carolina and broadcast law and broadcast management at Wofford College there in South Carolina, and I've been doing it for 30 years. And a lot of people don't know that about me because I've been on the radio more than TV, but I moved to Idaho about 4 years ago and started at Channel 8 and Channel 3 and launched into the weekends with Linda Larson, and who just got promoted to the main anchor spot. We want to give her some love. And,
What time do you get up on a regular weekday?
Well, the alarms, and there are multiple alarms, they're set for 2:10, 2:20, 2:30, and they keep going until 4:30. And you don't want to oversleep because then people will know you're late for work.
Right, totally. So what do you think of Idaho so far? 4 years into it?
I love it. I feel like I've been adopted. People say I have an accent. I don't hear it, but I don't know, it feels like home to me.
It's a southern Idaho accent,
is
I think, right?
More of a Preston.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Kind of like a Napoleon Dynamite twang.
You know.
Give me some of your talks.
The city of Pocatello, our public regional transit, we had a bus in Napoleon Dynamite.
We sure did.
Yep.
Okay, so you've been here for 4 years in Idaho.
Yeah.
Is our weather more interesting to report on, less interesting?
It's a great place to forecast because it always changes. The problem is we cover such a big area, and I'm talking about close to four states, that the topography here makes it unique. So you can't make everybody happy all the time.
Well, I was going to ask you that, are you the hero or are you the goat?
Well, typically the joke that most people have about weathermen, and I get this a lot. I'll get this at the Eastern Idaho State Fair. I'll get it, you know, you're the only guy that gets paid to be wrong.
Okay, so here's the question.
You're like a politician, you know.
But here's the question. Accuracy-wise, how often do you get it right?
All the time.
Yeah. See, that's a Hall of Fame baseball player right there.
I'm batting 1,000, everybody.
Right, totally.
I'm telling you. Again, 50% of the time I'm right, and if you don't like it, then I guess I'm wrong. But there is a science to it. There is an art to it. I want to thank my chief, Michael Coates, and the National Weather Service in Pocatello. They do a great job. We also team up with the Weather Service in Wyoming because we get into Jackson Hole. And we get into West Yellowstone and people down there around Preston and down around Bear Lake. Yep. So we have people that commute back and forth and people that are not here in the winter and come back. And, you know, you'd be surprised how many people come and go around here and travel and use us as a barometer. But technology's come a long way.
See, that was my next question. What has technology done for you as a weather forecaster?
Oh, it's made it easier. I mean, everybody has a camera now. Everybody's got a thermometer. Everybody's got the app. But the difference in our forecast on Channel 8 is that it's personalized, and we know the community. I can give you the landmarks. I can tell you what your kids need to know, and I can go hour by hour, which is helpful. And so, you know, seriously, we dig into it so that we can help you break down what you need to do for the day. And had you told me we would be outside tonight, I'd have probably brought the jacket in with me. But I had to go out to the car and grab it. Now, people have gotten so used to their phone, they don't tune into the TV anymore to get the forecast. So, you know, we try to liven it up, make it quick, and make it different every time and take people places. But this is a big area to cover, guys.
Yeah, right.
And see, here's the other thing, too. What I think people forget is, as you said, it's the personalized touch with our local news and our local forecast.
You know, we'll notice things about your neighborhood, and we'll use that to our advantage, because that makes us local broadcasters, like KISU. I mean, yeah. We're right here in your hometown. This is a local program, people.
Well, yeah. And we're, you know, obviously a big outdoor community. Everybody's doing stuff outside,
yes.
Whether it's for work or for recreation, right? And because we're so variable in eastern, you know, part of Idaho and into Wyoming, we need that information.
Well, but you know the weather probably better than most of us do. You know what your hometown is and where things are going to be happening, and you know the precedent that's been set. Oh, this is what happened 4 years ago in April when we had that hailstorm that knocked everybody's socks off, and it looked like your house had been hit with machine gun fire, because I was on the airplane moving to Idaho with all of the roofers and insurance people. And I'm going, okay, we're going to Weather World.
Yeah.
This is truly one of the most difficult places to keep up with things. And again, saluting the Weather Service and, you know, Michael, who's been here coming up on 15 years, and I've been here four, so I've seen a lot. You know, snow on Halloween, typical.
Yep.
you can recognize the trends, but we had, you know, La Nina year. This is a La Nina year. So will that mean there will be more moisture? I don't know. But then when you get into climate change, I mean, everybody's got an angle, and you sit and go, I don't know, but I sure do like being outdoors a lot here. So you know what to prepare for.
Right.
And we
live here. Yeah. We've got all the gear, all the clothes,
right.
Everything that we
exactly.
need for the weather to change.
It does in yep. a minute.
So we'll hear that report, 40% or 60% chance of thunderstorm.
Does that mean 40% of the area is going to get it?
Yeah.
No, there's a 40% chance that it will
right.
happen.
Right. Flip
right.
a coin.
Yeah, it's not. We're not dividing a pie up into the area. That's where we get down to looking at models, and we do. You can zone in on it and go, look, and we break it down into four areas on TV, and we'll go, okay, upper valley, lower valley. It's everybody's different. You get to the lip of the desert from Arco to Malad, and it goes in different directions. But I'll tell you one thing right now. It's always windy and Howe and Dubois. A lot of people want to know if there's a script. That's the other thing I want to get to. No, there's no script when I stand up there. A lot of people think I'm reading off a teleprompter. But no, we're telling stories. So live TV in front of a green screen is maybe a lot more difficult than people think.
How do you know where to point on that green screen?
We are surrounded by television monitors.
Yeah.
And there's an art to it. Again, it's part of the performance art of knowing where to go. And, you know, it helps if you have a wife, because she'll tell you where to stand and how to hold your mouth. But I don't have one of those right now. So, you know, I've learned over the years. I've done this since 94.
So how did you move from weather into all your other extracurricular activities?
Aside from, you know, pool and loan sharking, my dad was in radio.
Okay.
So I grew up going to the radio station. I was conceived on a turntable at 45 RPMs and 33 and a third once things slowed down. Yeah, listen.
That's good.
You don't give me the bone.
That's good.
Listen,
that's good.
Yeah, just keep going. Are you guys having a good time? I'm having a good time. It's morning radio, right? So, yeah, my dad's a disc jockey. Jack Roper is his name. He is a meteorologist and has been at WSPA-TV in Greenville, Spartanburg, South Carolina. It's since 1986. But he put me on the air when I was 9.
That is cool.
Doing what?
I was on the radio.
What were you doing?
I was a disc jockey.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I was an announcer.
So what were you playing at that time?
We lived in Bertie County, North Carolina, out there in the tobacco fields. You know, grow potatoes here, there. They let school out to pick tobacco.
Yep.
So Bertie County, North Carolina, just to probably about an hour from the Outer Banks. And Dad ran the radio station, so he needed somebody to work. And this was before automation systems and computers, when people played records.
Yep.
Well, can you imagine playing one at a time?
Yeah.
That's why they're disc jockeys.
Yeah.
And you would literally have something to do every 2.5 minutes. It's the ultimate in multitasking, whereas today it's swipe right or left.
Right. What music were you playing?
I played a mixture of country and adult contemporary, everything
okay.
from Air Supply to Willie Nelson.
Gotcha.
Because you're in the middle of nowhere on a little radio station, and you just have to appeal to everybody.
Yeah.
But Dad was, yeah, we were. I was on... WDJB and WBTE in Windsor, North Carolina. I have a tape of it. It's quite funny. My voice is a little higher.
A little higher.
Just a tad bit.
I think Willie Nelson is, and George, I met George Jones. I've interviewed Willie Nelson. Willie Nelson gave me a rash one time. This was the most interesting. I met Willie at Farm Aid in 1997.
That's a while ago. Yeah. Okay.
There's a video of it on my YouTube channel, Jeff Roper TV. I grabbed his ponytail and put it up to my lip.
Oh.
And did the old mustache gag.
Yep.
And then I asked him a question. I said, Mr. Nelson, you know if you took a shower, you'd be a wet Willie? And he lost it. He thought it was funny. And then my dermatologist told me, yeah, there was probably incense in the air.
Yeah.
And it irritated my skin. Irritated my upper lip.
It's good. Bigfoot. Tell me about Bigfoot.
You tell me, buddy. Well, you're running the museum over here.
Well, you were telling me about this idea that maybe there's a family south of town here.
Have you heard this?
I have not heard this.
No, I have not
heard this line.
No.
No.
Please call KISU. Ask for Dr. Leaf. Come to the Idaho Museum of Natural History. Walk in on him and just say, look, where is the foot?
Where is the foot?
Where is he? I've heard this. You haven't heard this?
I haven't. Not south of town.
Can I ask the crowd here?
Hey, does anybody know if there's a Bigfoot south of Pocatello?
See, I told you. People know.
It's a fact. I think we found him, right?
It's a fact.
Yeah, it's a family. Told you.
Man.
See? Told you. By the way, we're here live at Jim Dandy's.
Pretty good.
Maybe there's a museum exhibit on this.
You know, there was, when I started here back in 2006 or so, we did have an exhibit on Bigfoot and the unknown and what's known and what we think we might know and that sort of thing. It was very popular.
Well, I know you still have it because you rotate things through the museum, and you have thousands.
We have casts of footprints and that sort of thing.
See?
You knew it.
Here's the thing when we look at cryptozoology, you know, initially they thought gorillas were fake, and then we find out that, yeah, gorillas are actually really real.
Well, but Peter, you run the zoo. You know this.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
I got to ask you about a trivia question.
I'm ready.
What was the topic for episode one of Nature of Idaho?
Dr. Leaf, I believe the topic for episode one of the Nature of Idaho included the world famous and unbelievable exhibit at Idaho Museum of Natural History, the Buzz Saw Shark.
Indeed. Well done. Yes. How'd you know that?
I love that exhibit.
Yeah. Right on.
I took my kids to see that. They couldn't believe that that was indigenous to here.
It's swimming right through this back.
And these guys did the work, figured out how the jaw fits.
It was unbelievable. Yep. And the model, I put my head in there.
You're supposed to.
You get the selfie. And I want to remind everybody listening that, yes, my exhibit will be coming soon to the Idaho Museum of Natural History. I'll be under glass, and you can see a real media type and interact with it. I'll probably bring a magazine.
Excellent.
But we've designed a case.
It could be like the disc jockey. Remember what this was? The disc jockey.
No.
Oh,
this is the future of media. We're coming back. What's old is new again, people.
Gotcha.
Everybody wants to be on social media, but this is a real media type. There'll be a glass case. I'll show you the video. It's on my Facebook page.
That's going to be awesome. But we have to really thank Jeff Roper for joining us today on our 100th episode. And you can catch him on Local News 8 and Country 99 FM. A big thank you to Haley and Davis Gove at Jim Dandy Brewing for hosting us tonight. And thank you, everyone. 4 years later, we appreciate you.
4 years now.
4 years.
That's great. Hey.
Hi, I'm Mary Louise Kelly. Here at NPR, we try to reach all kinds of listeners.
My name is Leo, and I'm 8 years old.
And we take feedback very seriously.
I never hear much about nature or dinosaurs or things like that.
So when Leo wrote us about our appalling lack of dinosaur coverage on All Things Considered, we knew we had to talk to him. Hi, Leo.
Hi.
I hear from your parents that you want to be a paleontologist when you grow up, and now we've got one on the line for you.
Okay.
Let me let you ask a question.
How did dinosaurs grow to be so big?
This is hard-hitting journalism because these are the types of questions that keep paleontologists up at night.
In public radio, we value our relationship with each and every one of our listeners. You listen to us, and we listen to you too. So keep our connection strong. Donate to this station right now. Here's how.
You know who covers dinosaurs really well? The Nature of Idaho on KISU. Support NPR and KISU programs by visiting KISU.org and click donate.
All right, we've got our first trivia question going on here. This young gentleman, speak. Tell us your name.
Hi, my name is Francis.
Francis,
hey,
all right.
Francis.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Francis?
Who invented the Fosbury Flop?
The Fosbury Flop?
Yeah.
Do you know what the Fosbury Flop is?
No, I don't.
It's a high jump.
So, it's a high jump.
Yeah, in the beginning they would jump face forward like this. And the Fosbury Flop is now how we do high jumps, where they jump with their back towards the bar. I'll give you a hint. The person who invented the Fosbury Flop is in the name of Fosbury Flop.
And it's not Flop.
And it's not Flop.
It's not Mr. Flop.
So who invented?
I think I have an idea now.
Okay, good.
Who do you think it is?
Who did it?
Mr. Fosbury.
Excellent. Yay. Give this gentleman a prize.
We got prizes.
Good job.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, who's next? This is going to be a really hard one. And so these are all associated with associated with Idaho. So tell us your names.
I'm Jocelyn.
Jocelyn?
I'm Sheila.
Sheila?
Hi, Jocelyn.
Well,
Sheila.
Welcome to the show. Are you ready?
All right.
What activity is it illegal to do while sitting on a camel or a giraffe?
This is
a law in Idaho. What activity is illegal to do while sitting on a giraffe or a camel? It's forbidden.
On a camel or giraffe?
Like sport activity?
It's an activity.
It's an activity. It's an action.
It's an activity.
Yeah. That's the thing you might do.
Right.
But definitely not on a giraffe or a camel.
I'm thinking of sports. So I'm thinking football, tennis.
You can play football on the back of a camel in Idaho. You can't do is go fishing.
Fishing.
You cannot fish on the back of a camel or a giraffe.
I've never known that.
Sorry.
We have three people.
Please put your pole down.
You get a sticker.
Oh, heck yeah. Thank you.
I never thought you. Why would you?
I don't know.
But why would there be a law?
These are some odd ones. All right. Two of you again?
Yeah.
Excellent. What are you guys' names?
My name is Zoe, and I'm Aaliyah.
Zoe and Aaliyah?
Yes.
Okay. When did Idaho join the Union? Not 1990. 1890.
Yeah. On July the 3rd.
On July the 3rd. All right.
You're a winner.
You're a winner, winner. Winner, winner, pork chop dinner. Okay, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Where is Idaho's seaport located?
Lewiston.
Oh, my gosh. I thought I had a hard one for him.
It's the spring, actually.
Okay. All right,
very
you
good.
Can pick
very
your
good.
Prize. All right. You got it. All right, we got more trivia, folks. Come on.
Okay.
Mackenzie, you'll be Mackenzie?
You will be Mackenzie.
Oh,
very good.
I love it.
Aspire
okay.
to be Mackenzie.
I'm Mackenzie every day, but
okay.
today extra.
Where did Evel Knievel attempt to jump the Snake River Canyon?
Yes! Twin Falls.
Excellent. Yay! And he didn't make it. So you're a vegetarian, correct?
Yeah.
So you should know this.
How did you know that?
Why? Because I know Ruthie.
Okay. Well, see, then we need to disclose this.
Right. So,
you can't just walk up and start labeling people.
I know. I totally am. That's how I roll, man.
I know you did.
Totally how I... Who invented the finger steaks? He's from Idaho.
What is a finger steak?
I know this. Yeah.
A finger steak, it's like strips of meat breaded.
I think it's Paul Link.
Paul Link.
Yep.
No. Close. It is actually Milo Bybee.
Bybee.
Yeah, Paul
Milo
Link invented Bybee. The sausage link.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Again, disclaimers. We know a lot of people. This is my partner, Sue. And so, are we ready?
Yes.
Let me figure this one out. Look down here. What is the lone national reserve in Idaho?
Castle Rocks?
It's in Castle Rocks. Castle Rocks is in there.
Is it the City of Rocks?
City National of Rocks,
Reserve?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
The National Reserve.
Well, National
really,
Reserve.
If I didn't get that one, that would have been grim.
Been there a few times, right?
Just a tad bit, yeah. Just a tad bit.
I'm learning so much from you.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
What about the wilderness area? Largest?
Oh, yeah. What's the largest wilderness area in the lower 48?
Frank Church?
Yep.
Frank Church?
Frank Church. Yep.
Music for The Nature of Idaho is by Idaho's very own Sons of Bannock. Engineering and editing for this program was by Jamin Anderson, with assistance from Ben Graham. We hope you join us next Thursday at 8:30 a.m. for the next episode of The Nature of Idaho on KISU Pocatello, Idaho Falls, Rexburg. Happy Thanksgiving. Thank you so much for listening. Hey, today's edition of The Nature of Idaho was recorded back in September to commemorate the 100th episode of the show. We can't thank Dr. Leif Tappanella and Peter Pruitt enough for their continued involvement in KISU and with this program. Both of these outstanding gentlemen volunteer their time to host this show and bring us credible, educational, and entertaining programs every week. And we should mention that all 100 episodes are available to listen to at any time in the audio archive found at kisu.org. Just click on Programs and The Nature of Idaho. You can also find audio of this and all past episodes in your favorite podcast directory. So my name is Jamin Anderson, and I consider myself a public radio junkie. I have a lot of favorite shows, but among those favorite shows is our very own locally produced The Nature of Idaho. It's an amazing example of how volunteer show hosts, who are experts in their fields, create something special and educational for our community. In honor of this 100th episode, I have pledged $100 to KISU in the name of The Nature of Idaho and our terrific hosts to help provide the resources needed for another 100 episodes. My challenge today is to you, listeners of this show and KISU. As general manager of KISU, I can say with confidence that every dollar donated to this station is considerable and used responsibly, and we hope that's evident and reflected in the quality programs you hear on KISU. To match my pledge of $100, simply go to your computer or even your mobile phone, go to kisu.org, and at the very top of the homepage, just click Donate, follow the prompts, and the entire process takes less than 5 minutes. Thank you so much to those who have already pledged their support and to those who will pledge their support during this year-end pledge drive. Again, that's kisu.org, and click Donate. Thank you, and happy Thanksgiving.